Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here, along with Rock God Rick Mexa and the world headquarters today. And we have Steve Lasley, Captain Steve Lasley from Team Bad Company, as well as Galati Yachts. And Steve's hanging with us on the phone and talking big blue marlin fishing and so much more. I mean, this guy, not just blue marlin. I mean, you talk about he can catch anything.
You got it, man.
I mean, certainly one of the best, if not the best in the world when it comes to saltwater fishing.
No doubt about that. That's for sure. And, you know, speaking of great fishing, we're going to find out what's going on the water. We got the catch report coming up this morning. And, well, that's brought to us by our great friends over at Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. This is the place to fill up your car, truck, or most importantly, to fill up your skiff with the low lowest gas prices, the lowest diesel prices. Did you know that Summit also is the place to get the lowest prices on ice and snacks for your trip? 25 cents for your first 5-pound bag of ice. Do you hear that?
How about that?
Yeah, 25 cents for your first 5-pound bag of ice. Or you can get $3.90 for a 20-pound bag. That's under $4.
25-pound
bag.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
25-pound bag for less than $4.
As many of those as you want.
Yeah.
Less than $4. Yeah. They are absolutely the best. And, as always, with a 35-gallon fill, 100 pounds of ice free.
Yeah. If you're going, let's talk hookup list.
If you're going fishing and you need to put fuel in your boat, you'd be crazy not to go just for all of that. They have Kirkland products lower than the prices of the store that sells them. Dozens of great snacks for just 89 cents. And much more. It's Summit Gasoline, free ice for Let's Talk Hookup listeners, and always low prices right at the San Diego Sports Arena. We're going to start off our catch report over with our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, and Captain Steve. Nice to hear from you, buddy. Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
We got a very interesting week this week here. It's been some really good fishing in multiple locations. So just hit a few of the highlights. There's so much going on. Now, unfortunately, the weather up north is going to be a bit rugged the next few days, very breezy. But there was some world-class sea bass fishing near midweek up there. But going to have to wait till things straighten out a little bit to get back on it. At Nick and Santa Barbara Island, mostly the same setup there, kind of weathered out. But some really good signal on the yellows at Santa Barbara for the few guys that did make it out there this week. Now, Catalina, here's the Catalina conundrum. The island's got a lot of yellows there, a lot of really big ones. And the problem is a lot of those yellows just do not want to bite anything other than light line. So you got big fish, light line, and bad neighborhoods. It makes it really tough to land them. But there's definitely quite a bit around. Still quite a bit of squid around also. Had customers over there a few days ago. They were set up off Salta Verde to catch their bait, and it was interesting because they were testing the East Coast hoop net setup for their squid catcher, and they had some video. It worked out pretty well, interestingly enough. But they caught the bait there at Salta Verde and then moved down to Orange Rocks for some really good fishing on the yellows and a really nice sea bass. So it's just one example of some of the good fishing at the island there. Clemente, pretty good week also. Some squid still there off the dunes, mostly, you know, in that backside west sector. Big yellows and sea bass on the bait grounds. And then kind of a rebite on the yellows down there in the cove. It reloaded and it's been pretty good fishing down there. Then offshore, you know, here's where it's really interesting. A big volume of tuna fish around, mostly bluefin, a sprinkle of some really nice yellowfin also. That bluefin zone is it's kind of pushing up higher. It's stretching all the way up to the 172 up above the west end of Catalina. There were boats in there yesterday. And then the main zone was kind of around the 499 and down to the southwest of that just a little bit. But a lot of fish, not biting all that good, but no shortage of fish. And, again, the weather's up, so it's going to be an issue here the next couple of days. And then that yellowfin, a lot of that yellowfin is closer to the beach. Some of the guys yesterday were looking right off of Liso and, South Laguna there. Just 3-4 miles off the beach, seeing some of that fish. Not biting all that good, but it's definitely splashing around. And then that area stretches across kind of towards the 14 and then all the way over to the east end of Catalina. And at the east end of Catalina, man, this is only late July. And the marlin fishing is really getting going. Some of the guys have already had a season's worth of fish, and it's not even hardly marlin season yet, but quite a bit of fish around the east end of Catalina. That's really good news. And, man, I wish you could just keep going. We need about 10 minutes, Pete, to cover all of this. But
yeah, just lots more. We got to save some time for Steve Lasley, man. Right?
Bro.
I mean, we all want to hear Steve, and he's been sending me some shots of these giant blue marlin jumping out of the water.
It's like real.
I mean, it's like, these things are like, I mean, they're like freight trains.
Yeah.
Like, they're so huge.
You still say, like, the big tuna, like, that thing looked like a Volkswagen coming out of there. Well, those things look like an F-250 coming out of the water.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, FishDope.com, Danny and his boys there have all the good stuff. $30 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Now, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your $30 code for a discount for a new membership on FishDope.com. And, Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. And phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, guys, it's definitely time to go fishing. We've got a little bit of weather now, but since it's straightened out, it's definitely time to go. There is so much going on. And, Pete, good to talk to you guys. Go catch a bunch there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good call, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Saturday. All right.
How about another place that's biting, and that's down at Cedro Sport Fishing. And we got Jeff on the line. Jeff Flowers on this morning. I know Rosie's taking a group down to Cedro's. What's up, Jeff?
It's just absolutely a fabulous day. Great show this morning, and Cedro Sport Fishing is the destination. Things are going crazy. There's multiple 100 fish, calico bass days, hook and release, large yellowtail this season, dropper loop, trolling, live mackerel, using the yo-yo, throwing the surface iron, and it's beautiful down there.
Oh,
it's that old school charm, Ricky, that you used to talk about. But it's with a flair, right?
Yeah.
We've all been down there. A lot of us have been down there, and it just continues to produce. It's an amazing
food,
place.
5-star accommodations, and 10-star fishing at Cedro Sport Fishing.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of people this year that have gone down for the first time and come back and book immediately saying, I'm coming back. This was amazing.
Yeah.
First, there's some guys that are going down there. I know you've heard Rosie say this already. They're catching their first yellowtail, and it's 40 pounds. That's amazing.
Right?
So we do have some trips that are available, believe it or not, a couple here and there. But if anybody out there is just willing to say, yes, I need to go, then get on the website at cedrosportfishing.com and take a look at, the pictures that are there. Rosie is on every piece of social media. She posts pictures all over the place every day. They're not fake. These are real people catching real fish.
Real fish.
And get on the horn. And if you want to talk to her a little bit, give her a call at 619-772-7570. You can reach her at rosie@cedrosportfishing.com. And you can go to the website, cedrosportfishing.com.
Awesome.
So
great report, Jeff, as always. Appreciate it. Glad to hear things are going so good. So many big ones and opportunities to go. Great job filling in for Rosie, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
Jeff. Of course, we have tomorrow we have Bill Varney on the show, and then he goes down Monday on our Let's Talk Hookup trip to host our Cedro Sport Fishing trip. So I know Bill's very anxious to go down there and not only surf fish, but also get some calicos and some yellows and more. So good luck to all of them, and thanks, Jeff, for that. Hey, Steve, you with us?
Yep.
All right. So Ricky has a great text for you, right, Rick?
I thought so. I thought this was up Steve's alley. It says, good morning, guys. Do you think that we're going to have a late season this year? The reason I ask is I've noticed some of our migratory birds and some of the bug hatches have been later than normal. I'm wondering if this is something that's worth paying attention to. Those green beetles just showed up when we normally don't. When we normally see them as early as the beginning of June. I'm curious on Lasley's thoughts. That's from Rory in Lakeside.
Good question, right?
You know, that's pretty funny. I do, over the years, you know, we've always been able to tell by what, you know, the fruit trees and the vineyard and stuff when they push if it's going to be an early year or a late year. And sometimes a lot of those signs, just like exactly what he's saying, it all does correlate. And if I haven't been home, but if that's what he's seeing, I would lay money. I would say the odds are that it's going to be late and unless something transforms real, you know. So every now and again, you'll be going in one direction, and you'll notice a real abrupt change, and it'll shorten up real quick or something. But based on everything he's saying, I would say I would agree with him that, yeah, it probably will be a little bit later season or stick around longer. But, you know, you already got the yellowfin showing up, it sounds like. So who in the heck knows anymore, huh?
Yeah, so you heard Mark Wish talking about sea bass and yellows at, like, your islands, Santa Barbara, Catalina, and such. I know you spent a lot of time fishing sea bass and yellows there. Here we are. It's going to be August this coming week. Is that a little late?
Well, you know, we used to have some pretty good commercial fishing on the sea bass in early August, but, you know, I mean, that was usually the drop-dead end of it was that first week of August, but still seeing squid around. You know, we used to, when we were commercial fishing those things, rod and reel, we'd see that squid into the early part of August too, you know. And but sure seems like everything's changing pretty rapidly, huh?
Big time. Just where it is and when it is and everything, you know, like the handbook just doesn't seem to be the same that it did before. Like, you said they're... The rules have all changed.
All the rules are changed. Yeah. Do you miss fishing? You miss doing that, Steve?
Well, when you guys started talking about fishing lingcod with the grubs, that really wound me up. Ricky knows how much I like fishing grubs, and I only got to fish those big lingcod a couple of times up there. But I miss all kinds of fishing, Pete. I mean, I really like calico bass fishing. You know, I like fishing wahoo. There's love fishing swordfish. You know, there's just so much to do and so little time to do it in, you know. And I've been really fortunate getting to fish my whole life, you know, at a pretty high level. And so I really honestly do. I miss a ton of it, man. But what we're getting to do and getting to see and all the places we're getting to go, it'll be awesome to finish out my career doing that, you know. And then I'm hoping to slow down and get I mean, I still look at commercial boats. You know, I got some of my buddies and one of my dear pilot friends, you know, Carl Speronis, he needs a boat to fly for. So, I keep kicking around getting a harpoon boat again, but I don't think I'm gonna.
But man, Steve, some of these pictures that you just texted me with those giant blue marlin jumping out of the water there, I know that's got to get your blood pumping, right?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's hand-to-hand combat. You know, poor OB, he was like a wrecking ball on the last trip. He kept breaking the 700-pound or straightening the hook out. I think he broke the 700-pound once, pulling on the leader, and another time he was fully loaded up, you know, and he's in CrossFit all the time staying in training for this. And man, he went over backwards. I think the hook was up on the bill somewhere on a, you know, 900-pound fish, and he went flying through the air and wound up tangled up in the chair. You know, he hit his back in the chair really hard, but it really is an adrenaline rush because it's such a, I don't know, it's you're so synchronized between the guy pulling on the fish and watching the waves and watching your crew members trying to not get him hurt, you know, that it's an adrenaline rush for sure, you know, and it really is such a team sport. Once you hook the fish, you know, it's not just the driver, it's not just the guy in the chair, it's not just it's a full team deal to be getting these fish. You know, we get them pretty quick, and we want to do that so we release them real healthy, and then, you know, you also want to get your lines back in the water and see if there's a bigger one, you know, and so,
I mean,
yeah, it's pretty awe-inspiring. And then we rig all of our gear and we set everything up so that if we hook the biggest one ever, we stand a chance of catching it. So just having all the gear pristine and, you know, the everything right. Cal Sheets does all our reels. You know, we change the gear ratios and, you know, we beef up the drags. And, you know, Anthony's not a big guy, but he can pull, man. I mean, he's routinely putting 70 pounds of pressure on those things. So,
wow.
All that's fun. But, yeah, man, I miss sea bass fishing.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, we're so fortunate here in Southern California to have lots of variety of different things to chase, for sure. But speaking of variety, let's jump back into the catch report here.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up with our great buddy Marcos down at C4 Sport Fishing is on the line. What's up, Marcos?
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing today?
Doing great. Been talking about all kinds of good fishing. I know last week C4th was just the spot, and, man, did we continue this week?
We did. There's some fishing. It's not as wide open as some of the earlier weeks we saw here, but a little bit of shift there. It's not a lot of yellowtail this week, and a nice mix of size on the yellowtail, from the smaller ones up to 20, 30-pounders, and across all the trips. The Twilight, again, last night had a yellowtail, good calico bass fishing. The Half Days had some yellowtail. San Diego, very good yellowtail fishing. Had 46 yellowtail and one bluefin for 17 guys yesterday. Delgado Dos, under six-pack chart, they've been hitting a lot of limits of yellowtail. So not the same as the bluefin fishing we saw, but, I mean, can we really complain about great yellowtail fishing?
Yeah, right.
No.
Like, exactly.
I'm not convinced that's necessarily a downgrade. I was going to say different fishing, very good on all those trips, even the overnights and the day and a half seeing yellowtail. Still some bluefin in the mix there. Polaris Supreme called in yesterday. They're starting day two of their three-day trip, and they finished up day one with limits of bluefin, and I believe he said 14 of those were over 100 pounds out of the 26 they caught. So
wow.
He's still plugging away at those bluefin. Like we said, you know, just the sheer amount of 100-pound-plus fish on there, it's almost becoming routine. So definitely if you're going on one of those trips, any of these trips, make sure you have the right gear for those, depending on what you guys are doing. Like you said, great fishing across the board. There are lots of options. Still some bluefin in there, great yellowtail fishing. Those Half Days and Twilights are still doing pretty well. And just a quick note, if you're doing a full-day trip coming up, some of those boats, San Diego on the Sea-Watch, switch to the islands for a few days here. They're going to test the grounds there. There's been some good fishing. And those full-day trips have been, it's been a long ride for those trips there, so they're going to try and see what's at the islands. So check the website, c4thlanding.com. Have our full schedule up there for the half days, morning, afternoon, and twilight. The full days, overnight, day and a half, some longer trips in the mix there. You can book them all online there, c4thlanding.com. Give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. More than happy to help you guys out, answer any questions you have. Like I said, double-check your gear before you come down for the trip. Things are shifting pretty frequently at this point. And, you know, there are some standard setups there that, you know, we use on most of those trips. So you're always free to call and ask questions. If you don't have your passport yet, definitely get that. We've talked about this every season. Skip one trip, get your passport. It's good for 10 years, and it's going to open up some trips to you, especially like right now when they're switching the island trip.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course.
Thanks, Marcos. Appreciate that report. Great job. And you guys at C4th are getting them, and we'll talk to you next Saturday. Appreciate that very much.
All right. That's going to wrap up our
guys.
Thanks, Marcos. That's going to wrap up our catch report, sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the brand new and easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. Now, with the addition of new team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or check fishermansprocessing.com and be sure to make your reservations today.
Yeah, hey, Steve, interesting question from David, and he writes, he's up in L.A., and he says, Steve, are you going to be fishing the Bisbee Black and Blue this year? If not, well, not if so, I might as well not enter.
Well, yeah, that's not true. We haven't done well in the last few years, but I'm not 100% certain on that one either. So it just seems like my schedule is ever-changing, but there's been a couple other guys, you know, that have been pretty much dominating it, doing it the same style of fishing we used to do. But, you know, to be really good at that, you really do need to go in there and put in 20, 30 days ahead of that tournament and really get the pulse of what's going on, you know, and really get the feel of it and know where all the bait are. But the beauty of that tournament is you could just show up and go trolling around out there and hook the biggest one at any given second and win several million dollars, you know. And
But
you just increase your odds. The more time you can put into it, you definitely increase your odds. And I haven't been fishing down there, and shoot, it's been almost like 8 or 10 years or something, I think, where we were really getting after it. So kind of lost a little bit of that edge for sure.
When were you guys feeling the most confident? Was it, you know, when there was really good fishing and you were getting bites every day? Was it when it's really slow fishing and you knew everybody was really going to struggle to get one? Like, what was it in all those years that you guys have had all the success? Like, when were you feeling the best about your chances fishing the big tournaments?
Yeah, definitely when it's slow, because we've always figured, you know, we'd get one shot in 3 days, and when the fishing was slower was definitely when we were the most excited about the whole thing, you know, and it was just all those, you know, everybody thinks it's a great big ocean and they just roam around, but we all know that the very small oceans as far as bite areas go, you know, and knowing each little rock pile and what the current direction needs to be for it to bite on that rock pile. It was very, very technical fishing, and that was our separation back then.
That's cool.
Wow. So I know this question comes up a lot, and we've had it recently because we just had this massive moon and tide here this past week. Do you put anything into the moon deal?
Oh yeah, we kind of live by it, but it changes from area we go to area we go to. But as far as for like the blue marlin, we like the building moon to the back side of the moon. But a couple of regions they bite better in the dark. You know, I think it's local areas. You know, you just kind of got to figure out which one it is in that region. But yeah, definitely. You know, and the tide swings and then. Also, you know, how flat the tides are, how severe the peaks are. It seems like when they're real severe peaks, you know, it's a real short bite period. And when they're a little bit flatter, the bite period during the day is a little bit longer. But absolutely moon phase, absolutely tides, you know, highs and lows. And half hour, 45 minutes, hour on each side of it. You know, sometimes hour or two before the peak low or peak high. But for certain, the moon phase has stuff to do with it.
And is that for all fishing or mostly just blue marlin and offshore fishing?
Oh, it's for everything.
For everything.
For certain. That I've found. I mean, if when you're really in tune and you know, you're doing it every single day, you know, it maybe not calicos or rockfish or something like that, but for sure we found it on the sea bass and for sure, you know, on the tuna. And you can get into a groove, you know, where, you know, sometime around that full on the bluefin, they'd make a big move, you know, for 3 or 4 years in a row, you know, 4 or 5 days after the moon or 3 days or 2 days, you know, they'd all get up and race all around for 100 miles and then settle back in again, you know. But just hearing all the stories and looking back over all the years, you know, I mean, we used to have to go to Guadalupe to fish those bluefin, and we used to do that on the building moon, you know, and then we'd always quit right around the full because same thing, they'd just split at some point, you know, and then, you know, they'd settle back in again and we'd get back on them and figure it out. So we always tried to travel on those times, but every species a little bit different. Each location's a little different.
But you got to pay attention to it. It's important.
Man, you got to pay attention to everything. Wind direction and, you know, it's everything. That's what's so fun about it is it's such a giant puzzle. And then, you know, but for certain, fish live and travel and feed in very finite areas in that great big ocean, you know, and it doesn't matter what species it is. You definitely can come up with patterns if you pay attention to all of it, take good notes on all of it. I'm sitting here looking at my bookshelf now, still full of, you know, notebook after notebook after notebook. And I'll go through and read those again, and something will jump out at me, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And then, you know, put it back into play and have it work 30 or 40 years later.
Wow. So you take notes on every trip that you go on?
I don't so much anymore because of the plotters. I've gotten a little bit lazy, and quite honestly, I'm just so ridiculously busy between the world tour and the boat sales the last couple of years, and I've slacked off on it, but my plotters have all of my data in them, and I will occasionally write something in a notebook, but not like I used to keep a daily journal, you know, and then at the end of the season, I'd always do a summary of the things that I felt made the difference. And I'll still go through and reread those summaries. I started doing that all the way back in 85.
Wow.
That's rad.
That's pretty cool. Well, phones are packed up. They want to talk to Steve, so let's jump into it, Rick.
You got it, man. How about we talk to Tom? He's called us from Temecula this morning. Tom, thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm just amazed. I've been watching, Steve, some of your videos from Cape Verde, and just amazing. So my question is, Steve, you know, out here on the West Coast, you used to have sleepers and feeders and a lot of visual stuff going on with the Marlin. And I was wondering, with the blue Marlin back there on Cape Verde and some of the other areas you fished, do those fish act the same? Do you have sleepers and tailers and, you know, that sort of thing going on back there with those big fish? Do they group up? Are they pretty much sole fish swimming and you pick them up?
Yep. Most of what we're doing is with the sonar. And, you know, we're spotting them like 800 to 1,000 feet away, the high majority of them. Occasionally, they get up on the surface and they're above the band of water that we can look at in the sonar, and that's when we get surprised. We were at Ascension one day, and my kid was up in the tower with me, David, and he looked over the side, and like a 800 pounder went swimming down the side of the boat. And you know, when we do miss them, they are in that upper water column, but we don't see them tail very much. But they do. Once in a while, we'll see them tailing. And then getting back to Southern California, Carl has been sending me pictures that, you know, there's a lot of marlin up. I believe he didn't tell me where they were, but I think they're up around the Channel Islands right now. And he sent me pictures of a group of 11 and, you know, a bunch of twos and singles and a couple of really big ones, and naturally all the swordfish shots too. But yep, to answer your question, we don't see very many on top. That they don't group up a whole lot, but once in a while, like I was just getting used to a new sonar in Brazil, and these hits were really little, and I thought they were a bunch of tuna, and there was like 7 hits, and I drove through it, and it was all blue marlin.
Jeez.
So they do gang up occasionally. They just came in and piled on everything, you know. And occasionally we get doubles or even triples on the blue marlin lures, but it's the exception. It's not the rule.
Those big giant fish have to be eating machines just to sustain, right? Is it all about bait?
You know, at Ascension, it was not all about bait. In some areas, it's not. It's really weird. You know, you go to each region, and they're a little bit different. In the Azores, they're dumb as rocks, and it is all about the bait, man. And, you know, the National Marine Fisheries says that, you know, there's breeding stations, there's nurseries, there's feeding grounds. They've got all these areas designated as certain essential fish habitats, and I'm pretty sure that Azores is just a straight feeding ground. I mean, there's so much mackerel there, you can't hardly see through it with the sonar. Sometimes the sonar is worthless. But, wow. And it's the same kind of mackerel we got here. They got greenies, they got Spanish, you know, they got the ones we call the blue mackerel with a bigger eye that doesn't live in a tank, and all that stuff's very similar. But they got these giant blue marlin everywhere. And we get doubles on big ones, too. We had a 650, 850 double one day. We were fortunate we got them both. But, yeah, stuff like that, super high energy still gets my heart racing.
I can imagine.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup with the man, Captain Steve Lasley. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup with the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader with all-inclusive fishing trips to Cedros Island. We now have 2 lodges to choose from, and both sit on the cliff edge with relaxing ocean views and gorgeous morning sunrises. With direct flights departing from the CBS in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
Hey, this is Captain Benny Florentino, owner-operator of Coastal Charters. Just want to announce that I'll be running the Camus 26 hybrid boat from West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. Hybrid being a center console with bay boat features. The boat features a Michael Peters stepped hull that'll give both myself and my guests a comfortable dry ride. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa will be carrying the 26 hybrid, 28 hybrid, and also a 34 cat. Heck, they even have some great looking bass boats. But if you have any other questions, feel free to call Nick Kelly or Kyle Mesa at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa, and we'll see you on the water.
Take it from Captain Benny Florentino. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa is your source for Camus boats as well as Parker boats, Yamaha outboards, and now Mercury outboards. Sales and service, the finest you can find. Go see Nick and the guys at West Coast Marine on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check westcoastmarine.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
24 years ago, I visited this amazing place called Hideaway Archipelago. I just could not get enough of these amazing islands, natural beauty, friendly people, and phenomenal fishing. I knew I had to spend more time there. Moving forward to today, here I am, a fishing lodge owner. Hi, this is Valerie Hilbridge from Queen Charlotte Safaris in beautiful Hideaway Islands, British Columbia, Canada. We are a boutique lodge just steps from the Sand Strait Harbor, offering a truly unique fishing adventure. Our fishing is world class. You will fish for king salmon, halibut, lingcod, and much more. Our fishing grounds are untouched, unspoiled, and surrounded by stunning scenery. We are dedicated to making your adventure an experience that will be a lifetime of memories. We will welcome you as friends, and you will leave as part of the Queen Charlotte Safaris family. You will come for the fishing, and you'll come back for the memories. We are booking now. Please give me a call at 1-877-815-2892 or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or website qcsafaris.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Hey, having a great time here this morning talking with our friends Captain Steve Lasley. Your phone calls, your texts, been a great show already this morning. And if you want to join us, give us a call at 213-432-1090 or keep those texts rolling in the Let's Talk Hookup app. Like we mentioned, a $300 gift certificate to Costa Sunglasses going to one lucky caller or texter at the end of today's show.
Hey, Steve, Mark Wish wants to know about Omni. Talk about using the Omni sonar.
So the Omni is a great sonar for bluefin, blue marlin, yellowfin, but it's not near as good as a searchlight or a sector sonar for a bottom fishing or sea bass or yellowtail. And it just has something to do with the processor. Super technical. I'm not going to get into it, but and the frequency is real low. So, the Omni, we see about over 90% of the fish before they bite now. And, we can, get a hit, stay locked on a single fish, turn the boat, drive over to it and catch it. And we also turn on a lot of bad hits, we call them. But you have to turn on them because every now and again, fish will be going straight away from your head on or something. So it'll look like a bad hit. And then as you get close to it, it'll expand and grow into the right thing. But there's some other technology that we're working on right now that the two of them together is going to be pretty doggone good. I'm actually working with Garmin with it right now, but that'll be coming out in about a year or two.
Wow. So what's the difference between a standard sonar that you'd see on one of the long-range sport fishing boats and an Omni?
So a standard one would be what they call a searchlight, and it's got an 8-degree cone. So if it from the bow going to the right, it'd be 8 degrees, and the next one would be 8 to 16, and then the next hit would be 16 to 24. And then each time that it pulses, it will show you that 8-degree cone. And then with a sector, it does 45 degrees at a time. That's actually my favorite sonar. And so it would do from 0 degrees on the bow to 45 degrees on your starboard beam, and then the next pulse would be from 45 to 90 degrees. And then there's the Omni, which pulses 360 degrees on every pulse. So it shows you everything all the way around the boat for 800 feet. There's some stuff that we do to offset it and make some changes, but basically it's pulsing 360 degrees each pulse.
So you're just your chance of missing something is lesser because you're not waiting for that searchlight or that sector to come around to where the target is. You're always seeing. If something swims by to the left when the sonar is pinging to the right, you don't miss it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so they all pulse at about the same length on the same rate. You know, it's like pulse, 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 pulse like that at 800 feet. So typically with an Omni, we've learned that it's only on the screen for 3 to 6 pulses, and then you got typically, if you're going 8 knots, and then you got to start messing with your tilt. So, like you just said, Ricky, if it's going right and the fish is on the left, you know, I mean, it's the Omni's 12 times more efficient if you've got an 8-degree cone versus a 100-degree cone. So You could potentially miss, you know, like 30% or more of the hits. And I don't think I was ever even that effective with it. I think I was seeing like 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 6. But just doing the math, it should be like you should only miss like 2 out of 3. Whereas the Omni, we see almost everything. I mean, if the rod goes off and we didn't see it, it's unusual.
That's amazing. Now you have a good text, huh, Rick?
I thought so. It's just a question about the tour for Steve, and it's from Dave in Anaheim. It says, Steve, so far, what has been your favorite big fish destination, what is your favorite thing to angle for when you get there?
That's really funny. I've been sitting here wanting to talk about that. So that's two parts. So my favorite big fish destination so far, it's a toss-up. Between Brazil, I think Brazil would win, but maybe the Azores. So that's pretty much a push. But my favorite fish to fish for was in Australia, and it was barramundi fishing.
Huh.
And I was able to, we were at a fuel dock, and I was able to pull out the grubs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just like sea bass fishing, bouncing grubs on the bottom, it was exactly like sea bass fishing, except for when you set the hook, it was like setting the hook into a rock, and those things are like a combination between a white sea bass, a snook, a tarpon, and a dogtooth snapper, and it's an amazing fish, you know, and then I finally got one to the boat after losing several in a row. And I went over to gap it, and they're armor-plated worse than a dogtooth snapper, and I bounced it off the gap. I tried everything. I tried hitting it everywhere. And it just, all that you got was a scale that was, you know, half as big as your hand. And and I wound up losing it. And I lost, like, the first three on the gap, and I tried hitting them everywhere. But they're so fun. They jump, and they dog you like a dogtooth snapper, and they eat the grub in the dark under the lights. And,
wow.
I was trying to get one. I had to jump down on the dock. It was a big one, and I was going to try and walk it down the dock between the fenders and the boat, and I couldn't get it past it. And I'm looking, and I see these eyes looking out from underneath the boat at me, and I realized it was a crocodile looking at me. and I thought, man, I better get back up on this boat, you know.
Yeah.
And so just Australia, that type of stuff was super fun in Australia. But
leave it to Steve, though, to go to Africa and Brazil. And,
yeah,
you know, they just come off of a stretch of dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of fish over 700 pounds. And, oh, yeah, no, my favorite thing was a fish that I caught on a bass rod bouncing a grub on the bottom. Like,
that's so cool.
Of course it was.
Yeah, of course. Hey,
rad.
You know, all these places, you're talking about different places, the fish and stuff like that. What about the people? Where was your favorite destination, or is your favorite destination of people talking and watching and such like that?
You know, every place we go to, the people are really, really nice. You know, any of those areas that are associated with Portugal, which I had no idea it was such a vast empire at one point, but the Madeira Islands, the people are just so ridiculously nice, and the Azores, the same thing, and, you know, just everywhere, the Ascension, the people are so nice and so gracious, and we don't get on the beach very much, just because we really are, from the minute we get there till the minute we leave, we're just flat out, man, either prepping the boat, getting ready to go for a day, and then it's, you know, it's dark to dark, and you know, get in and maintain the boat and maintain the gear and, you know, rig the stuff that we lost, and so we don't get much time, and once we do get in, we got to put the boat to bed, and then, you know, it seems like the only time we get around people is when we have the parties on board the boat, or if we get weathered in, but we've only been weathered in a few days.
You must draw a lot of attention when you go to these places.
Yeah, we definitely do, and it's all been really positive, which surprises me. We haven't had much negative effect or anything.
Yeah,
really been very minimal.
Yeah. Now, you talked about, you know, some of the places that you're going to go that you can't really talk about it for security reasons. Do you have, when you go into places that are pretty foreign and, you know, halfway around the world or three-quarters of the way around the world, when you pull into a port, do you worry about stuff?
Yeah, it's always in the back of your mind. But, you know, we've got security on the boat, and we've done, you know, a lot of research as far as all that goes. And we've got, you know, we've reached out to security teams and gotten input from them. And But we definitely pay attention to all that all the time. Absolutely.
I can imagine. And be respectful to the local communities and such like that, I'm sure.
That's the main thing. Yeah, we try and include the communities as much as we can. And we, you know, I leave some of my personal stuff, lures, sunglasses, stuff like that, you know. It's like, we go into like Cape Verde, for instance, and if you give a local crew member that's working on one of the other boats 2 T-shirts, you just doubled his wardrobe. And if you give him a pair of sunglasses, it's the first pair of sunglasses he ever had. So, you know, well, even if we ours have a, you know, just a slight scratch in them or something like that, you know, and Costa's real good about replacing my stuff, you know, I'll give it to the local crew members, and they're just all so grateful, and, you know, that. The people that we deal with there, you know, they're really good-hearted people, and just they're all so gracious to help out. And, you know, even though we're coming in there with sonars and, you know, high-tech equipment, you know, and they're still very open.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, you talked about Costa, and you pretty much put the green mirror Costa lens on the map. It's certainly my favorite now, and talk a little bit about that.
Well, I like the you know, the reds and roses and browns and, you know, anything that'll cut down on the glare. And in the old days, we used to use the Erskines, and they had that little bit of a rose tint to them, and it just helped silhouette stuff. But you know, they're making a real good glass, and they're our go-to right now for certain. And it just helps you differentiate that little rose tint to it. It just helps you separate things that are below the surface.
Cool.
That's rad.
Now, you, in addition to all the stuff you do, you're also a yacht broker, Galata Yachts, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so talk about a little bit about that. Where do you find time to do that?
Yeah, how's that going?
Well, it started out that I was going to semi-retire, and I was going to start selling boats for a living and just doing short trips with Anthony, and then COVID hit, and we thought, oh, no, nobody's going to buy a boat. And Anthony was just swinging this world tour up, and the yacht sales took off like crazy, and you know, I didn't really have a chance to think about any of it. I just put my head down, like everything I try to do. I, you know, integrity and work ethic and long hours and came together really well. So then with this world tour thing, I've just been able to blend it to where, you know, I'm gone 2 weeks and then I'm home a couple weeks. And I try and put all my deals together when I'm home, and then if I can't, I got 2 guys that work with me, Joe Freeman and Kevin Bohannon, And anything that I can't handle, they handle, and they're good boys, and I'm putting them under my wing and you know, bringing them along. And we're just working together as a team, like everything. I try and build a good team, and it's working out. So now I'm trying to morph into just builds, the builds I can handle, because with Starlink, I've got internet everywhere I go now, so it doesn't even slow me down, you know. And the guys on the boat, they all know what I'm doing, so they're covering the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing so that I can do the yacht sales. But thankfully, it's slowed down a little right now. I do have some builds going. But I've been able to get my feet under me here the last couple of months. The last 2 years has just been a blur. But very, very grateful for all the opportunities, and worked out really well. And Galati's a great group. You know, they're a very integrous group of guys, and honest, family-owned business. You know, it's a great group to work for.
Yeah, and Kevin and Joe, man, those are great guys to have on your side, for sure. That's very fishy guys, and they know what they're doing, for sure.
Yeah, and they know about boats and everything. It's been a great team, and you know, I'm sure my runway is getting kind of short, but however many years I got left, I'm certain we'll always be working together. The good guys.
That is so cool.
Love that.
Well, hey, let's jump in the phones, Rick.
You got it. How about next up, we talk to Vinny. He's calling us from Carlsbad this morning. Hey, Vinny, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Question for Steve. Hey, what's the largest fish you've ever caught, and where?
We don't know, but because we've let them go. But we honestly, we've caught really big ones in Brazil, and we've caught really big ones in the Azores. Those two places probably had the biggest ones. But we don't know how big they were. I'm certain they were over 1,000 pounds. And then Cape Verde, you know, this year we let one go. We called 999. So, you know, that Cape Verde is in there too. And we saw so many giant ones in Cape Verde this year. We didn't see all the big ones last year. We probably saw five this year that I would say were over 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
And then in the Azores last year, we had one on that didn't look real. It looked like something out of a movie. It looked like something out of like a Jaws movie. It looked fake. It was so big, and I can still see it in my mind's eye.
Wow.
And after it came off, I was able to go back around, and I found it again on the sonar and got on top of it. He came in and followed the teaser, and Kevin was up in the tower. And I don't remember how wide he said it was, but he was holding his hands, you know, pretty much pretty far apart, how wide it was across the shoulders. But
jeez,
that was probably the one of the biggest ones we saw. And I saw another giant one in Brazil, and the boys did on a trip I wasn't on too. So
any estimates on 1200, 1400? Any idea?
No, I would say north of 1300.
Wow,
that's great.
That's
for sure.
That's,
you know, it's not guessing. You know, those are pretty educated guesses. North of, we've probably seen three or four north of 1,300 in 2 years.
Holy gosh. What a giant fish. Are the blue marlin bigger than the black marlin?
I haven't read that much on the Japanese or longline stuff about the black marlin, but I have about blue marlin. And I do know when I was involved with the Inter-American Tropical Tuna Commission with Dr. James Joseph back in the mid-80s, he had a guy named Vitov Klov who read some of the Japanese longline data straight out of it. He could speak in a bunch of different languages and read fluently. And he said somewhere around the Tonga Trench that a blue marlin was caught by a longliner. The exact words were in excess of 1,500 kilos. So that's over 3,000 pounds. And then the biggest one ever caught on rod and reel, a bunch of people caught it. So that was Choi's monster, and that was 1,800 pounds. So, you know,
the blacks are bigger than the blues.
Man, I would guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know that for certain.
Yeah, crazy. God, that's awesome. How much fun this is going to be when we come back. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming here, including finding out who's winning a pair of $300 Costa or $300 gift certificate to Costa. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is Tommy the Fishmonger from Tunaville Market and Grocery and the TV show Fishmonger. I've known Yosef Husseini for over 20 years, and he's the expert when it comes to real estate. He's helped me with estate planning and multiple estate questions that the average guy like myself just doesn't understand. Yosef's not only a fellow angler, but he's an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find their ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free, no obligation home evaluation now online from Yosef by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address and you'll get that report fast. Yosef is a SoCal real estate guy to go to. He's helped me and many of my customers and family members to find what they are looking for in a home. He understands the real estate market like no other, so take it from Tommy the Fishmonger. Yosef's the real deal when it comes to your real estate needs. Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and I'll see you at Tunaville Market and Grocery.
This is Captain Art Taylor from Searcher Sport Fishing. Your hook is one of the most important links to catching fish. And at Searcher Sport Fishing, we use and recommend Gamagatsu hooks. The Gamagatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with a variety of sizes all the way down to size 4, Gamagatsu hooks are the ones to use. It's important to be prepared with the right tackle when you come aboard Searcher, so that should include Gamagatsu hooks.
This is Bob Hoos at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.
Hey, San Diego. The Make It Ford Summer Sales event is on. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer now through September and make it your best summer yet. Get great offers on the most popular Ford trucks and SUVs. And experience hands-free highway driving technology with Ford Blue Cruise, available on select vehicles. It's the Make It Ford Summer Sales event, and that means now is the best time to get behind the wheel of your brand new Ford and drive it home today. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers, they'll be glad to hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out if we have a caller or texter winning those Costas. Today we have a texter. Congratulations, Gary in San Diego. You got a brand new pair of Costas coming your way. $300 on the Costa website. Congratulations, Gary.
And Steve Lasley, thank you so much for your time. It's been an honor to have you here on Let's Talk Hookup, as we have several times before. And I know you're a busy guy, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Sorry I was late, guys. I feel so bad about that. I can't ever remember doing anything like that. I apologize.
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. We're just happy that you have here. We know you keep an incredible schedule there, and it's just an honor and a pleasure to get your knowledge out there. So thanks, Steve, and we'll be following you on the world tour.
Right on, yeah. It's Badco Fishing Adventures on YouTube, guys. Check it out sometime.
All right, and of course, we'll see you at War Heroes on the Water and following that, too. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate that. Thanks to JP for manning the board, and thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup website, or app, excuse me, on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Adam is the best. And tomorrow, Phil Barney, surf fishing expert, will be here. That's going to be a great show. We want to thank all of you out there, your texts, your calls, and your participation in Let's Talk Hookup. And we'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.